welcome to the Healthy Life Redesign Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kimberly O'Brien. As a naturopathic doctor, I help you to transform your health and amplify your energy with nutrition, natural medicine, and neuroscience. Each week, I share life-changing health habits and mindset shifts to help you break through the struggle and become the person you know you are meant to be. Are you ready to let your health and happiness come naturally? It's time to own your health and live a life you love. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of the Healthy Life Redesign Podcast. I am so excited to have you guys here listening to the show today, and I think it's really going to be a show that helps a lot of people, which is what I'm here for. And what I'm going to be talking about today is practices that you can use on a day-to-day basis that can help you to boost your mood and increase your overall levels of happiness. And this is all going to be without the use of medications or supplements. So all lifestyle-based strategies that you can incorporate really as of right now while you're listening to the show. So I'm really excited to share these. And I know mood can be a struggle for most people, at least at some times in their life. So whether you currently feel like you are experiencing depression or whether you feel like you overall are a really happy person, we're all susceptible to these dips or these lows. Sometimes we just wake up on the wrong side of the bed, and I'm sure we've all had days like this. I'm sure you can resonate. You wake up and you don't know why you're feeling the way that you are, and it can be really difficult to shake. So especially on days like that, these are going to be practices that you can use to help to lift yourself up out of that space of that negativity and rumination and to pull yourself into a zone of greater positivity and happiness. But wherever you fall on that spectrum, I definitely want you to know that you are not alone. So it is completely normal for us to experience low moods. It happens to everyone. And I don't think that I really realized that myself personally until I started my work as a naturopathic doctor. And I have the privilege of listening to people's stories and them sharing their concerns and their health struggles with me on a day-to-day basis. And hands down, almost everyone can improve their mood in some way, shape, or form. Again, there is a huge variability in the spectrum. So some people are really stuck in this low space. And if you're there, it's okay. These strategies are going to help to pull you out of that. But then there's also people who overall feel really happy, but again, they're not immune to falling into these lows or having these bad days. So before we dive in and start talking about the practices themselves, one strategy that I want to suggest is that you journal or otherwise somehow track your mood. And especially if you find that you're getting these low moods often and you're not really quite sure what the underlying cause may be, journaling this just gives a little bit of opportunity for introspection and trying to figure out what is the cause. Because what part of a healthy life redesign is looking at things from that angle. So we don't want to just band-aid this low mood, right? We want you to figure out why it's happening and to be able to fix things also at that level. So when you're journaling through things, you might realize that it's always Sunday night when you're going into the work week that you feel like your mood really drops. And maybe when you dive a little bit deeper, you realize that you've got either a lot of anxiety around your work, or you feel like you didn't get time on the weekend to rest and rejuvenate, or that you're really not happy in your career anymore. And then we need to be working on things and addressing things at that level too, which can take time. You might find that there's a pattern coming up in one of your relationships, that you're being triggered by a spouse or by a sibling or a parent or something going on that front, and that it's always after you're having conversations with that person that you're a lot more likely to fall into this low mood. You might find, ladies out there, that it's a certain time of the month where things can be happening just the same as they always are in your life, but you just feel really low. And that's okay. You just need to be giving yourself more space and more compassion and understanding around things at that time of the month, and to put these practices into play on a more consistent basis so that you can coast through that and just feel a little bit more resilient to those bumps and those dips and those shifts in your hormones. So make sure that you do that. It's definitely an important foundational piece, and it's going to help us to not only fix the mood or to pull you out of the low mood, but it's really going to increase your levels of happiness more than anything over the long term and get you to living that life that you really love. So now let's jump in and start talking about the practices that you can start doing today to improve your mood and boost your happiness. Number one is move your body. Now, this may not come as a surprise for you, but it is probably my favorite practice and the one with the most scientific backing behind the degree to which it can impact your mood. And we don't need to be athletes or running marathons or doing anything outrageous to be able to get the benefits of exercise. But what is important is that you are moving your body to some degree every day. So what happens when we're not moving is that our energy really starts to stagnate and get stuck. And from a Chinese medicine perspective, this is referred to as a qi stagnation. And one of the symptoms of that is depression. What happens when you exercise is you shift that energy, you get things moving, and it starts to change your body. It also changes your brain chemicals. So when you exercise, especially if you're doing higher intensity exercise, your body starts releasing endorphins, which are natural feel-good hormones. So if you've heard of the runner's high before, that is the mechanism by which that occurs, is your body is releasing endorphins, and those chemicals can literally induce a sense of euphoria. So we're not just talking about being a little happy. It can create a dramatic shift. When you are exercising, your body and brain also increases its release of serotonin and dopamine and norepinephrine, which are all feel-good hormones that we need for energy, to feel happy. And dopamine specifically feeds into what's called the reward system. So when you have increased release of dopamine, you have this sense of satisfaction and accomplishment. And it helps you to keep wanting to exercise more. So we are hardwired that the more we start exercising, the more reward we actually feel from it, and the easier it is to continue. So if you're not exercising right now, I know it may seem daunting to start this exercise program, but know that it doesn't have to be anything intense out the gates. So walking for a half hour every day is huge. If you can do that, you are going to start to get the release of these happy neurotransmitters, and you are also going to be decreasing your cortisol levels. So cortisol is a hormone that's released with longer term stress. And a lot of us have fairly high cortisol levels if we're really busy. So we're really busy with work, we're busy running around getting groceries and maybe running the kids to their sports games, and whatever it may be, we're always running. And we need to have some kind of practice that calms that and gives us space. And so exercise is invaluable for that. And like I said, even getting out and going for a walk, waking up a little bit earlier in the morning and doing some stretching or some yoga, all of these practices are going to get your body moving and help to increase those endorphins, increase those neurotransmitters. With exercise, you also get the release of human growth hormone and an increase in hormones like DHEA, which are more youthful vitality-based hormones. So they keep you feeling young, they keep you feeling energetic, and we need energy through the day to do the things we love. And if you're feeling really low in energy, that can definitely be one of the things that is going to predispose you to feeling like your mood is low because you just don't have the fuel or the reserves to get up and do all of the things that you love in a day. You're going to be laying in bed hitting the snooze button because you don't feel energized and alive and vital and ready to get up and take on your day. So exercise, while it feels difficult when you are in that space right now, it is going to move you forward faster than pretty much everything else when it comes to the mood department because it impacts so many other systems. So what I would suggest aiming for from a frequency standpoint would be 30 minutes 5 days per week. And again, you want to start where you're at. So if that's just walking around the block or walking around your neighborhood at a lower intensity, then that's great. So start doing that and go get out after dinner and do a 30-minute walk, or maybe you're building that into your morning. But at that level, research shows that your mood scores are going to be improved. So if you are somebody with more of a tendency towards depression and you start exercising, the outcomes in regards to your mood by adopting this exercise regime are similar to starting a antidepressant or to doing therapy. So really, really pronounced effects. And so a question I get often is, well, can I just work out inside? Is it the same if I go for a walk on my treadmill inside in my basement? And that is a great place to start, but it does bring me to practice number two, which is to immerse yourself in nature. Now, as much as doing that walk inside on the treadmill is going to get your body moving and get some of that release of those brain chemicals, if you're able to get outside, your benefits are going to be twofold at least. And so when it comes to the cortisol, when they look at people who experience depression, a lot of the studies show that these people often have the high levels of cortisol, so high levels of that stress hormone I was talking about, and low levels of serotonin. So cortisol and serotonin have this relationship with one another. And so if we can decrease your stress by having you get outside in nature, then we can boost your serotonin and boost your feel-good neurotransmitters. Studies also show when you get outside and you are in a forest or you are in a beautiful park and you can just relax your mind and just immerse yourself in that experience, that you actually give your prefrontal cortex a break. And what your prefrontal cortex is, it's the part of your brain that is involved in decision making and planning, and it's firing all through the day. And we can get what's known as decision fatigue. So we're faced with all of these different decisions and plans to make throughout the day, and our brains literally get tired. And when they're getting more tired and depleted, this can affect our mood. And when they do brain scans in research, they have shown that getting out into the forest or into some kind of nature-like setting actually lowers the activity in that prefrontal cortex, and it boosts creativity because it's giving your brain a break, and you are able to have thoughts come to you that weren't happening when you were busy at work or whatever it may be that was going on in your life that you were thinking about a lot. And so you get out in nature, your brain gets a break, your cortisol levels go down, you're moving. So if you're out for a walk or out for a run, your serotonin levels are coming up, your endorphins are being boosted, and you are going to feel so much better. Now, if you can get out and immerse yourself over the weekend, maybe get a cabin out in the woods, in the mountains, that's amazing. That is going to give a huge dramatic impact to how you're feeling. But it also comes down to making sure you're getting this in consistently. And now if you live in the city, there are definitely still ways you can do this. I lived in the city until about a year and a half ago. And what I would do is between my patients, I would get outside, I would head to the nearest city park, and I would eat my lunch there, or I'd go sit next to the flower gardens, or sit under a tree and read a book and just do what I could during the week to get outside for at least 20 to 30 minutes and sit in the sunshine and just relax. It's a little bit more difficult in the winter, especially if you live in Canada. I, of course, know just how cold and blizzardy the winters can get. But on those nicer days still, if you are able to get outside and go for a brisk walk, that is still going to be very beneficial because of the fresh air and hopefully blue skies. But I've seen firsthand the importance of nature in my own life. And like I said, I lived in fairly large cities for the majority of my life, at least the last 10 to 15 years. And it wasn't until a year and a half ago that I took the leap and I moved to the mountains. So now I am so lucky and grateful to be surrounded by nature on a day-to-day basis. I get out for a hike with my dog pretty much every single day. And it has made a huge shift for me in how I feel from a stress standpoint, because things still get stressful, don't get me wrong. I still have plenty of deadlines and a lot of other things are exactly the same in my life. But I'm taking that break in the forest, in the mountains, often next to a lake or a stream every single day. And of course, if you live in the city, I know it's not necessarily that easy, but most cities have beautiful parks where you can get away from the traffic and the noise and, again, just get outside. If you can get out of town for the weekend, it doesn't have to be overnight, but if you can get out for a couple of hours and go find somewhere that you really enjoy where you can be with trees and water and just be still. For me, I feel more expansive, more creative, and just tuned in again. It's like a reset for me. So building this into your routine is something that is going to be so transformative to your mood and really going to help your health by decreasing your stress and giving you that reset that you need. Practice number three is nutrition-based. So you need to focus on fueling your body with nutritious whole foods. And the reason for this is multifold. So one, we want to make sure that we stabilize your blood sugar. If you've ever felt hangry before, which is the combination basically of being hungry and angry because you are so hungry, you know exactly how important maintaining a stable blood sugar is in regards to your mood. And now that's definitely a more extreme example. Not everyone feels hangry in between meals, but there is a lot of variability that can occur in your blood sugar if we're not properly structuring how you're eating. And that is enough to lead to shifts in your mood. So one way that we can stabilize your blood sugar and help to avoid those massive spikes and then big drops that can lead to you feeling irritable or anxious is to make sure that you build protein into each meal. And also make sure that you're eating breakfast. So breakfast is, as they say, the most important meal of the day. And it's also a really important meal to make sure that you have some protein at. And it's one that I find when I'm talking with a lot of my patients, it's often the one that's lacking protein the most. And so if you're currently eating cereal with milk or just having some toast on the way out the door, we want to change that up. And if you tolerate eggs, eggs are a great source of protein. And if you don't have a lot of time in the morning, having something like a hard-boiled egg that you can have on the go is a really good option for you. One thing that I have a lot of my patients do is to make a big batch of a healthy nut and seed-based homemade muesli or granola. I've got three recipes that I really love on my blog. So you can head on over to healthyliferedesign.com and take a look under the breakfast section at my recipes there and hopefully find something that you would enjoy building into your routine. I think the fall spice one is definitely my absolute favorite, but have something like that. I'm a big fan of coconut milk, unsweetened coconut milk, and then top it with some berries. And that is a really well-structured breakfast. The nuts and the seeds are going to help to keep your blood sugar stable because they've got really healthy fats and really healthy proteins. Other ideas might be something like little homemade turkey burgers or turkey sausages with some avocado, maybe some kale, or, you know, you can still have things like your toast, but we just want to round it out with some proteins, like so the eggs If you don't do meat or fish, again, that muesli is a great option. But you can also build in things like black beans and chickpeas into your breakfasts as well. As far as lunch and dinners go, this is an opportunity definitely still to get in your protein, but also really to maximize your vegetable intake. And so from a nutritional standpoint, it's so important that we make sure that we don't have any nutrient deficiencies when it comes to supporting our mood. So our bodies and our brains need all of the right nutrients so that they can make the neurotransmitters and the hormones that we need to feel good. So for example, for our bodies to make the neurotransmitters serotonin and dopamine, we need two amino acids called tryptophan and tyrosine. And this is another reason why we really want to emphasize those proteins, is because protein is the source of those amino acids. So again, if you eat meat and fish, those are great sources. You can also get some from nuts and seeds, even things like oats and soy products. So one thing I do want to emphasize is to make sure that you are personalizing your diet and making sure that what you're eating is fueling your body and not fueling your body. And so this is a space that I do a lot of work with, both with my patients in my practice, but as well as people who follow me online, is to teach about food sensitivities and how these reactions that often people really don't suspect can be leading to symptoms like fatigue, even low mood, bloating, irritable bowel syndrome, or other types of digestive upset, headaches and joint pain, and even things like skin conditions, so acne or eczema. These can all be caused by reactions to foods that you're eating as part of your day-to-day diet. And I am going to do an entire episode on this next week. So make sure that you subscribe to the podcast and tune in so that you don't miss that. I think it's honestly something that everybody needs to pay attention to. I have seen huge shifts in my own health, and I see it day to day with my patients. So make sure to tune in. So a general strategy that I suggest to my patients is to make sure at lunch and dinner that half of your plate consists of vegetables. And potatoes and corn don't count, but anything else does. And really, you want to have the rainbow throughout your day as much as possible. So have beets, carrots, greens, so many great options out there. And it's really going to also help to stabilize your blood sugar and to fill you up and to make you feel good right after eating these things. So lots to work on. And again, subscribe to the podcast, because I have so many recommendations and suggestions when it comes to nutrition. So if you are into that, I know will love the show. Practice number four is to give yourself more time in the mornings. So this isn't necessarily one that's going to pull you out of a funk if that's where you are right now, but it's something that's so important to do on a day-to-day basis so that you are starting your day feeling like you are filling your own tank and you are giving yourself time and space to take care of you before you head out into the world to check off your to-do list and worry about everyone else's agenda. So if you are one of the people, which I have a lot of people who, when they first come see me, they are hitting the snooze button repeatedly through the morning, really struggling to get up out of bed, and then feeling incredibly rushed and stressed to get dressed, get ready, and get out the door, we want to change that. And again, I'm going to be doing an entire episode on this soon. So if this is you, subscribe to the show. But we want to start shifting this back, even if it's 5 minutes at a time. One, because when you're experiencing that stress first thing, and that's how you're waking up, we are spiking your cortisol like crazy first thing out the gates. And you are going to be in a reactive mode the whole day through, which we don't want, right? You're not going to be feeling calm and happy if you're feeling behind from the moment that you get up. So we want to shift that back. And ideally, what we want to create space for is that you can start incorporating some of these other practices that we're talking about in today's episode into your morning so that you, again, you're filling your own tank. You are filling yourself up and fueling your body and fueling your mind and getting excited about your day instead of, again, starting feeling like you're rushed and behind. This is something I've definitely had to work on myself over the years. If you met me 10 years ago, I was definitely one of those people that was hitting the snooze. I would not qualify myself as a morning person at all. And now I don't always get up at 5, but I can. And those are some of my favorite days, is when I'm up at 5 or 6 in the morning and I've got a head start on the day. And that's my time. It's me. I love that time of the day. I've got often a hot cup of tea. I get to read a little bit. I go work out. I take care of me first, and then I get to work and I get to everything else that's got to come with my day. So I'm actually the one now, my husband can attest to this, that if I am not up until after 8, I'm like, I'm going to get grumpy. I need to be up earlier. Otherwise, I start to feel rushed. I feel like I missed out on the me time. So plan your day around that. And we just need to shift it back. You too can become a morning person. I guarantee it. Practice number 5 is to smile even if you don't feel like it. And actually, if you don't feel like it, you really need to do so. So give me a smile right now. It's so easy, right? Just plaster it on your face and you will feel better. And the reason for this is because when you smile, even if you are currently in a low mood, it activates these neural networks that feed back into your brain and cause your brain to start releasing the serotonin and the dopamine and the feel-good hormones that really, again, help you come back alive and feel more positive. So we can basically trick our brains into feeling happier by putting this silly smile on our face. And I do it all the time. And it's something you need to consciously remind yourself of course, because if you're not feeling so hot, you're not really going to feel like smiling. But when you catch yourself in that state, it's a good reminder just to put that smile on your face. And if there's other people around, that's even better, because what happens when you smile at a stranger, let's say you're walking down the street right now and you give a big smile to the person that's walking towards you, they cannot help but smile back because of something called mirror neurons. And so we have mirror neurons in our brains because they help us to develop and build empathy. So basically it helps us to understand and know the emotional state of the other person, and we know how to interact with them. And it also helps us with learning. So when you smile at that person, their mirror neurons start firing and they smile back, which then causes the release of all of these happy hormones and neurotransmitters from their own brains. And then hopefully they smile at somebody else and keep that pathway going. If you've ever had somebody walking towards you on the street when you haven't been feeling that great and they've smiled at you, I'm sure you've experienced this firsthand. It's honestly pretty amazing. So don't hold back. Everyone can use a little bit more happiness and smiles and conversation. Talk to that stranger too, which is bringing me into my next point. Practice number 6 is to get social. So of course, the last thing we feel like doing typically when we are in this low state, this low mood, is to get out and be surrounded by other people. We usually want to hole up in our home, maybe sit on the couch, and often do something like binge eat on sweets or chocolate or things that we think are going to make us happy and fill this void. But of course, that's not what we want to be doing. Those things are not going to help us, not in the long term. They are going to pull us deeper down. So when you're feeling low, we want you to get out and get yourself into a social environment. So that can be as simple as going to the grocery store and trying to smile at people. It can be going to the gym where you're surrounded by people. Maybe you have a fitness class that you join. So you're surrounded by other people who are also getting all their neurotransmitters going at the same time. But getting out into that social environment, even better is if you do something that helps somebody else. So I have definitely noticed when I'm in a bad mood, the fastest way ever that it shifts, other than maybe exercise, is when I go to work. So I end up being in my practice and I can go from a low mood before a patient walks in to immediately forgetting all about that as soon as I'm in that space with them and I'm working to help them. And I'm usually at a great mood at the end of the day or the end of the night once I'm through my shift, because I feel like I've been useful. I've been contributing something. It hasn't been about me. It's been about serving and helping others. And I know you'll notice that too. That can be helping your family, helping a friend. You can do something volunteer-based. You can just hold the door for somebody and maybe get into a bit of a conversation. One thing that I want to mention on the social front is that it is really important that you feel like you belong, that you have a tribe of people or some type of group that you feel like they get you and that lifts you up and helps you to become the person that you're meant to be in. And what we don't want is for you to be surrounded by negativity and people who are instead talking about other people and dragging you down and talking about all the things that are wrong in the world. And that's not going to elevate your energy. And of course, you might have those people in your life, whether it's a family member or friends, or often what I find is that it might be your coworkers, so other people in your work environment. And those people, it can be hard to get away from, but energetically, you need to have a boundary around that. And as much as possible, you need to shift that so that you are surrounded more by people who are going to lift you up. So people who talk about ideas and things that they want to do with their life instead of things that are going to drag them down energetically. And by surrounding yourself by those people, you will be elevated to that same wavelength and find yourself operating on that higher level as well. And so if you don't feel like you have that in your life right now, ways that you can incorporate that are by listening to upbeat, inspiring people. So whether that's a podcast, or you're watching videos, finding an online community, whether it's through social media or some means like that. But as much as you can do it in person, that's ideal. And there's so many options on that front now as well. There are meetup groups in most major cities. And what a meetup group is you can go online and you search your interests. And there's usually a number of groups meeting up in each locale for each interest. And you can go and you can physically meet with these people. And so whether it might be people who are interested in food and cooking, or maybe they're interested in hiking and outdoor adventure, so then you can get your nature fulfilled as well. It might be people interested in politics or public speaking or knitting or whatever it may be. There's literally probably something for everybody. And when I had first moved to Calgary years ago, and I wasn't really feeling like I had much of a social network going, I did several of those and it was really beneficial. So look for opportunities like that. Join a club, join a class, get yourself out there socially. Know that if you're feeling scared or held back about doing so, 90% of the other people are too. And just be that person that sends out that smile, sends out that friendly vibe, and it will be nothing but benefit for you. Practice number 7 is to shift your focus to gratitude and to let it go. So again, it's natural for these bad moods to come up. If they're coming up recurrently, we really want to look at what is the underlying cause. Is there something that you need to shift in your life? But overall, when they're coming up, we don't want to dwell in them. It's a choice to either stay in that state and to focus on everything that's going wrong, because that's inevitably what happens, right? When we get into this low mood, we look at our life differently. Even though nothing's changed in the last 10 minutes, everything that was great 10 minutes ago, now we're doubting. Are we good enough? Are we on the right path? Everything starts coming into play. And you don't want to do that. So instead, maybe get out your journal, get out a piece of paper, and you want to shift your focus to everything that you're grateful for, everything that is going well in your life. Then you have the choice. It's the choice to shift to gratitude, to let it go and to focus on how you want to feel. So what we focus on expands. And I know, I think this is probably the hardest practice of any of the other ones on this list. And it's something that you might have to consciously decide every 2 minutes. As you go through this, you decide to be happy, you decide to focus on what's grateful, and then you slip back and you just decide again and you focus, you write down some more things that you're grateful for. But what happens is that the more you do this, the easier it becomes. So whereas a bad mood might have put you out for an entire day, maybe a whole week before, you'll find that you can get to the point where you notice those emotions coming up, you notice that you're feeling really low, and you can just shift your focus. Focus on the things that are going well in your life. Focus on what you're grateful for. Maybe you call a friend who you know is going to make you laugh, and you can get out of that state really quickly. Another thing that helps with that is practice number 8, which is to elevate your mindset with daily inspiration and alignment. So we want to be proactively reminding ourselves of how we want to feel on a day-to-day basis. And your brain has different neural circuits, and they get reinforced based on the thoughts that you're thinking the most often. So it's like water flowing down a creek bed. It's going to take the easiest path to get down the mountain. We can change the way it's going by diverting the water another way. Initially, the water's probably not going to flow that well through there because the path isn't worn in. But the longer we divert the water, the easier the water starts to flow down the other path, until eventually that will become the dominant pathway for flow. And so this is the same with your brain. If you right now are somebody who finds that you are more often in a negative state than a positive state, this practice here, elevating your mindset with daily inspiration, is the best way to change that. And it's what you need to focus on doing the most. So we want to hardwire these more positive circuits in your brain. And we want that positive thought and that happy pathway to be firing on a way more consistent level. And so it's about stopping and recognizing when you're going into that negative space, but doing something every day that is going to tune you in and align you to how you want to feel. And so this is one of those things that's great to build into the mornings. So if you are working on building more time into your morning routine, so maybe you're getting up a little bit earlier and you're reading something inspirational, or maybe you're listening to a podcast on your way to work, or an audiobook that you know is going to lift you up and that you're really going to enjoy. These are all things that, when done regularly, are going to tune you into that more positive wavelength and align your mind with more positive thought. And I think it's something that no matter how far along you are, even if you do already find that you are a fairly positive person, it's something that's really beneficial to keep in play. So for myself, I notice that if this practice drops, I can eventually get into a space where my mood is a lot lower on a day-to-day basis than it would be if I was incorporating this practice daily. And so then, of course, I pick up on that and I put the practice back in place. But if you can do it as much as possible, at least when you're in this lower space, it will hugely help you. So some names to check out. Oh, there's honestly so much. And so it really comes down to what you're drawn to. But if you like Oprah has Super Soul Sundays, which is always really inspirational. And there's tons that you can watch on her Facebook channel or her website. Brené Brown has a book called The Gifts of Imperfection, which has helped a lot of women in my practice. If you feel like you're a perfectionist and that gets you down, or you fall into a low space because of that, that's a great book for you. Jen Sincero, I love. I listened to her audiobook, which is called You Are a Badass: How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life. I listened to that audiobook last year on a long drive, and she had me chuckling. She's got a great sense of humor. So that's a great one to check out. The Success Principles by Jack Canfield. I did some live training with Jack Canfield as a mentor in California a few years back, and this is still hands down one of my favorite books for going through all of those classic success laws. So things like tuning in your mindset, setting your vision, creating your goals. It's a great book. It's a long book too. So it's something that you can read a chapter every morning and get your mindset tuned into that wavelength. Tony Robbins is always, of course, incredibly inspirational. He's got lots of great YouTube videos. Brendon Burchard is someone I've trained with as well, and he has a podcast. He has a lot of videos on YouTube, and a lot of them are quick, so 10-minute things that you can tune into to elevate your mood and your mindset. And last but not least, Lori Harder. I met her at the Jack Canfield event years back, and she is incredibly inspirational, and she also has a podcast called Earn Your Happy. So that's another great one to check out. And then, of course, the Healthy Life Redesign podcast. I am so excited to be sharing more inspiration with you on a weekly basis going forward. So please subscribe to this show. I am going to be focusing on a lot of mindset strategies and alignment strategies. And we're going to be talking about health and happiness and how you can own your health and live a life you love. So make sure to subscribe to the show. I also really appreciate, as a new podcast, if you can leave a review for me on iTunes. That helps me to come up in the new and noteworthy, and it helps me to get this message out to more people. So let's recap. We covered a lot today. There are so many things that you can be doing on a day-to-day basis or as needed to boost your mood. And that started with moving your body. So getting exercise, start where you're at, but do something, because the research is just hands down in the favor of how much that one practice can do to boost your mood, both immediately and definitely to keep it up over time. And if you can do that in nature, all the better. So being out in nature is going to lower your cortisol levels. It's going to give your prefrontal cortex a break from all that decision-making fatigue so that you can have your creativity come through. You can feel like you have a better handle on your stress and just overall boost your mood. So get outside, whether that's doing your exercise outside, just getting out for a walk in the park, in the city is a great start, but get out to the mountains on the weekend if you can. Really immerse yourself and have that break for your nervous system. Number three, we talked about fueling your body with nutritious whole foods. So this is from the perspective of stabilizing your blood sugar with having proteins at each meal and making sure to eat your breakfast, and then also to making sure that you are getting in your vegetable intake. So we want to support your body in producing enough hormones and neurotransmitters, and nutrition is definitely the way to do that. And if you are struggling to get in your breakfast, number four is the practice that you need to focus on, which is giving yourself more time in the mornings. So giving yourself more time in the mornings is going to enable you to spend time doing all of these other practices. It's going to lower your cortisol because you are not stressed trying to get out the door, and you are going to have more time to take care of you first and to fill up your own tank and your reserves so that you feel good going through the day. Practice number five was smile, even if you don't feel like it, because that is going to activate your neural pathways to release happy hormones and neurotransmitters, and to smile at somebody else, because that's going to cause the same beneficial effects in that person. Practice number six is to get social. So find your tribe, find that group of positive people that uplift you and support you and help others. So be that person who's lending a helping hand, who's smiling at that person. And that is going to give you that sense of purpose and fulfillment. And that is hands down one of the best ways to immediately boost your mood. Practice number seven was shift your focus to gratitude and let it go. So write down all of the things that you're grateful for in your life and ask yourself, what would happen if I just let this go and chose happiness? And then do that. Number eight is to elevate your mindset with the daily inspiration to keep yourself aligned and happy. And so many resources to check out to do that. I will list those also in my show notes. So for the show notes, go to healthyliferedesign.com/3. and you will find the show notes for this episode. So you'll find links. And so from that, you can definitely share. If you found inspiration in this episode, please share. Send it out to somebody who you think would benefit. Again, I think we can all benefit from a little bit more joy, a little bit more happiness, and more positivity in our lives. So at the end of the day, this all comes down to taking action. So now is the time. What is one thing that we talked about today out of those 8 practices that you can do to boost your mood? Think about what you want to focus on. What seems like the best plan for you? If you were to choose one of these strategies or habits to do on a daily basis for the next few weeks until you create that habit from it, what would you want to focus on? Write it down, put it in your phone, post up some reminders, tell a friend. Just make sure that you are taking action. Remember that it's the things that we're doing on a day-to-day basis that over time lead up to creating this huge transformational change. So all of these seemingly small things add up to create your healthy life redesign. So on that note, thank you to all of you Healthy Life Redesigners out there for listening to the show today. Make sure to tune in again next week when we are going to be talking about food sensitivities and how you can personalize your diet so that you can maximize your energy and boost your health. I'll be releasing brand new episodes every week, so make sure to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen so that you don't miss a beat. As a brand new podcast, your reviews will greatly help me to reach more people. And if you can head on over to iTunes and give this show a review, that would be so appreciated. I look forward to seeing you back here again next week with more advice and inspiration to help you own your health and live a life you love. Bye for now.